It is very difficult for some reason to obtain permission to treat patients in the United States. I think this country has the finest bureaucratic regulations in the world, and the other countries are way behind. Here, the patient has to go to very difficult bureaucratic process, which usually most of the patients will not be able to go through because they die during the process. For some reason, they don't want to have cure of cancer.
My name is Sergeant Rick Schiff. I'm an 11-year veteran of the San Francisco Police Department. I hold the department's highest medal of honor for bravery. That used to mean a lot more to me than it does now. What I'd like to talk to you about today is my now 7-year-old daughter. This is an identical twin. Her sister is now dead. Her sister, when she was 4 years old, Kristen, developed a highly malignant brain tumor that had spread throughout her spine and her brain. The doctors told us that we had really two options: take her home, let her die, or bring her in for massive dosages of chemo and radiation simultaneously. In either event, she was going to die. They were quite certain of that, and very quickly. Believing her only chance to be the standard route, we gave her the chemo and radiation. It burned her skull so bad she had second-degree burns and her hair never came back. To change her diapers, we had to wear rubber gloves because her urine was so toxic and it burned her. At the end of 6 months, miraculously, she survived the standard treatment, although there was a high expectation she wouldn't. She still had cancer. We were told, sorry, we've done everything we can. Now she's going to die, probably within a couple of months. My wife and I, choosing not to accept that, started reading. The first book I picked up, the third chapter, discussed Dr. Brzezinski. As you may guess, I have some expertise in fraud. In fact, I'm quite certain there are enough attorneys in the room that I could be voir dired as an expert in fraud. And I conducted my own investigation. I have no doubt the man is not a fraud. I have no doubt that he does what he does out of earnest belief that his medicine works. And now you're in a position to judge for yourselves whether it works or not, but it's well established by the FDA that it's non-toxic. 18 months later, we took my daughter off the antineoplastin. She had not died. She had no signs of tumor. She remained free for 18 months of cancer. Within a month, the cancer was widespread in her brain. We put her back on Brzezinski's. By the way, at the objections of our doctors, for some reason felt that it had failed her. We put her back on. Within 9 weeks, the tumor was completely gone. She died last July of neurological necrosis. Her brain fell apart from the radiation. The autopsy showed that she was completely cancer-free. Out of 52 cases of that disease ever, no one died cancer-free, just Chrissy. So she didn't die of a terminal illness. She died of my inability to care for her properly, and she died from bad advice. She died because there's a government institution that disseminates false information and is not looking out for the welfare of the people. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I swore an oath 11 years ago, and I think most of us in this room swore it at one time or another to uphold the Constitution. It says life right in the beginning.
I first heard of Dr. Brzezinski back in the late 1980s when he was in a battle with the Texas Medical Board and the FDA regarding his innovative approach to cancer. I wasn't surprised by that. Anyone who's innovative in medicine creates waves in the medical system. However, in his case, I was continually surprised that they didn't put him out of business. I kept hearing about him. So in the mid-1990s, I said, Dr. Brzezinski, I want to come down to visit your clinic and find out what you're doing. It's very new to me. When I arrived, he had 7 charts ready for me to review that had been reviewed by the National Cancer Institute, who also made a site visit the year before. The National Cancer Institute reported that these 7 patients were either in complete remission or there was substantial improvement. I was astounded. Dr. Brzezinski had MRIs of brain tumors known to be almost universally fatal that had simply disappeared.
A Polish native named Stanislaw Brzezinski attended Lublin Medical University where he graduated first in his class at age 24, and then received his PhD in biochemistry the following year. While undergoing his research to acquire his PhD, Dr. Brzezinski made a profound discovery. He found a strain of peptides in human blood and urine that had never before been recorded in biomedical research. As his curiosity in these peptides evolved, he made another profound observation. People who were inflicted with cancer seemed to lack these newly discovered peptides in both their blood and urine, while those who were healthy and free of cancer appeared to have an abundance of these peptides. Dr. Brzezinski theorized that if he could somehow provide a way to chemically extract these peptides from the blood and urine of healthy donors and administer these peptides to those with cancer, perhaps it could be useful in treating the disease.
Before I started, I asked the lawyers for the advice. Can I use experimental treatment, which was the treatment of angioplastins? Can I use this in my private practice, and can I be involved in cancer research? Simple as the private company.
Dr. Brzezinski's attorneys investigated both state and federal law to find out if it was legal for him to start his own biomedical research company, making antineoplastons and administering them to his patients within his private practice. They found that according to both the Texas state and federal law, the use of any drug or new drug can be used to meet the immediate needs of the patients of a licensed doctor, particularly when there is no other available option for them. The law stated that such activity was not governed at the time by the Texas Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act and is not otherwise unlawful under the laws of the state of Texas. However, Dr. Brzezinski would not be legally allowed to introduce or deliver antineoplastons into interstate commerce, which means he had to keep his activities only within the state of Texas to avoid breaking any federal laws. As long as he did this, his actions were not within the regulatory authority of the FDA. However, once word began to spread that Dr. Brzezinski was successfully treating what was once considered terminal incurable cancer patients, people began traveling from all over the country to receive antineoplaston treatment.
We're talking with Dr. Stanislav Brzezinski, who is an MD and a PhD, has done some experimental work in the area of cancer, and has come up with some very interesting studies, which have been backed up by about 4.5 years of investigation. We've had two patients who appear to be in differing states of remission. Now, we started to talk a little bit about the medical community's acceptance of all of this. How is your research funded?
Initially, my research was funded from National Cancer Institute and from Baylor College of Medicine. After I decided to open my laboratory, the only funds available for me were loans from the banks, patients' fees, and payments from the insurance companies.
Could you stand for just a minute, Dr. Gardner? This is Dr. Harold Gardner. Now, is there anything about this that you find controversial? I mean, his treatment, does it have a good scientific background hypothesis and really controlled studies behind it?
Yes, as the science of investigation goes, Dr. Brzezinski's studies have been quite professional, certainly as creditable as most at Wayne State and the University of Michigan and others, which I'm tied to directly. The controversy is less in his approach on a therapy basis than it is his approach organizationally. And much of the medical and hospital industry operates as a very closed shop. And if you have ideas that might in one way or another jeopardize that economic base, you fall into disfavor very quickly.
That is an incredible statement that you've just made.
And I've been involved with several patients who have chosen options in Europe and in Canada, and those options are not available in this country because of economic and organizational reasons, not because of scientific reasons.
Thank you.
For a long time, I didn't have any contact with Texas Board of Medical Examiners until around 1984. Some of my patients told me that they were approached by the agents sent to them from Texas Board of Medical Examiners, who were trying to convince them to file complaints against me. So this was shocking to me. And what is surprising, that they were using the state money, they were using taxpayers' money to travel a long distance, like from Houston to California, to convince our patients who were in California to file complaints against me. This was completely irrational. But nothing else happened at the time until I met, by coincidence, Vice President of MD Anderson Cancer Center, Dr. Hickey, who informed me that I will have problems this time with Texas Board of Medical Examiners. And obviously the problems began. And I was called to Texas Board of Medical Examiners. They began investigating me. However, there were no complaints from the patients. The patients were happy. We were treating patients who were very advanced, for whom there was no treatment available, and they were getting good results. So apparently there was no justification for such action. This was a very unpleasant investigation. They were trying to convince me again to stop my research, to stop treating patients. After about 2 years of going back and forth and being called to the board, finally, they proposed to me that I should present to them a number of cases of patients who benefited from my practice. And they informed me that such medical records will be reviewed by expert oncologist, and if they are satisfied that I am not harming patients, that the patients are benefiting from my activity, then they will leave me in peace. I was very